The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Friday, 26 May 2017. And we're going to be operating Monday. So if you're having your little barbecue or whatever you're going to be doing on a Monday, we'll be here. So you're welcome to join us. Talking with Michael Herzog. And, Mike, you and I got into this, and, you know, isn't it strange that the conversation is more free-flowing than it is when we get on air? I don't know why that is. Maybe because we're conscious of the fact that we're on air. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I've said many times during our conversation, John, well, okay, we're done. We just did two radio shows.
I know. it's fascinating. But, you know, we were talking about Donald Trump, and you and I were talking about this, and I said the way I see this, you know, if Donald Trump, and I don't believe the guy was a ringer that was sent in. I don't think that. I mean, even people did the reverse speech stuff and the body language stuff and all that. Although I enjoyed him more when he wasn't scripted. We all knew that Donald has a tendency to kind of run on and say whatever's on his mind, which made him so attractive to so many people. But Donald Trump right now, here's a guy that had no prior political experience. He saw the problems in and around Washington. He thought, with what he knew and his success, that he could become president of the United States. Okay, mission accomplished there. But here he is on a high wire act, and he's working without a net. And then he realizes there's no way down, and both ends, entrance and exits, are covered. There's nowhere to go. So they've got him exactly where they think that they need him to be. And if in fact they did threaten him or his family, what I would do immediately if I was Donald Trump is do a special presentation, presidential, whatever, call it whatever you will, on every network, and him to come out and spill the beans and just say, look, a lot of you people out here, and this would be a masterful stroke, because the Democrats still believe the misogynistic, and he runs around the White House with hookers. I don't know. Come up with any cockamamie story that you want, and they're there for it. You know, they're still hanging on to the Russian conspiracy here, which is absolute nonsense and has been. But rather than come up with a new story that they can't defend, they'll just keep pounding that one into the ground. But he's got two options here. Throw his hands up and go, okay, you know, you guys told me that I can do some good here and I can get some of the stuff that I wanted to get done accomplished. You know, I'll be a good boy. I still have my hands up in the air. But, yeah, okay. Or, like I said, you know, they kind of told him that, look, you know, if you keep up with this, we can't guarantee your family's safety. So he has one of two options. Throw away a Superman cape, or knuckle under, or just come out with it. And said, look, and what I'm saying, he could make, this would be a masterful political stroke, saying, look, you know, I'm speaking to all of you people. You may not have elected me. You may not have voted for me. You might still be out on the streets protesting. But as President of the United States, I've got to serve the country. And whether you like it or not, I've got to serve you. And then go down the laundry list of some of the stuff that they're upset about. You know, Donald Trump has been trying to make overtures here to pull the left in so he's more acceptable to them. I don't know why. You know, you and I, we've talked about this before. If you sit down with a Democrat or one of these screw-loose communist socialists, you know, the bumper sticker depth and breadth of their thinking and conversation pretty much stops as you quit reading the bumper with all the stickers in front of you at the traffic light. That's it. There's nothing more. There's no logic. There's no facts. There's no knowledge. There's squat. So if Donald, really, I mean, do I have to, what are we into, like day 130 or something? I don't know.
Something like that.
We got this guy for the next 4 years. Am I going to have to every week, you know, take a look at the political thing and what Donald's been doing? Do I have to be disappointed for the next 4 years? Or is this guy going to grow a pair? Because here's my contention. Anybody that wants the presidency of the United States, most people with any sense would look at this as walking through a ballroom on your lips with busted glass on the floor. You know, it would be tenuous at best, really painful at worst. So here you are. But the point is, we're a country. He's the president. We're a country. We've got problems. And quite frankly, to me, as I said to you, one of the last things I said to you today was, you know, we can keep hacking at the branches, but until we take down their power structure, this isn't the deep state we're dealing with. They're the sock puppets. They're the ones that are bought off. These are the ones that are in position. These are the people running around in military uniform wearing all these ribbons saying, yes, we can win a nuclear war. Yeah. Or, you know, attempting a nuclear exchange of some sort. Or just putting on and rattling the sabers even more in a world that's chaotic, that's screwed up, that was done by their very masters themselves. So here they are, they're stuck. But we're on the crap end of this stick, and we're still getting it stuck to us. And you said today, you know, something's going to pop, and when it does, it's big. I suggest that Donald Trump take the offensive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm absorbing all of this, John. And yes, I said today that something's going to pop, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to expound on that. The Seth Rich case is the linchpin. All of this malarkey about the deep state and Russia and the hacking and all that stuff is just a cover. It's a diversion. Yep. But here's the problem that they're having, John. Okay, they're going to have to create a diversion much larger than what they're doing to keep the focus off of what's really important. And that means something that is going to make everybody say, whoa, this is so unimportant, we better focus on this. Now, what could that be?
Manchester bombing? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no.
Well, nightclub shooting?
Yeah, well, we could talk about that, too. I mean, but the relevance of those is particularly small compared to what I'm talking about because, you know, yes, Sean Hannity, they crunched his gonads in a vice and he backed off, but... you know, there are people out there that aren't backing off, and this story's not going to go away.
No.
So, again, when I say something has to pop, there is something that they have to contrive, like they're so good at doing, to make the world and the United States and the populace at large focus on something else and forget about this. Because as long as this is the center of attention, it's going to keep getting larger. The evidence is going to keep surfacing. We've just scratched the surface. There's something very deep going on.
Now, Jeff Sessions recused himself about the Comey firing and all that to not make it look too political. But if we have a murder that obviously took place with Seth Rich, I keep wanting to call him Richards, Seth Rich, when's our attorney general going to climb out of his penalty box, self-imposed penalty box?
Well, that's a good question because as time goes on, John, I have to remind both you and the listening audience as an investigator that, you know, it's not just covering this up. This, in law, the media, obviously the D.C. police, other powers that be are not just covering up. They are also accessories to murder, which is a crime. Okay. they are no longer just covering it up. They are assisting in impeding an investigation of a murder, which I believe is a felony.
Yeah, it is in most states, and I know it's still with the feds. Yeah. By the way, we also talked about this little deal that happened over in England, and I want to read this article real quickly here, because it doesn't it seem that all of these guys that are doing these terrorist attacks, the FBI here in this country knew about it. Their intelligence agencies, they're over in the United Kingdom. They knew about their guy over there. And this just keeps happening over and over and over again. The police and security services missed at least five opportunities over a five-year period to stop Salman al-Bedi from carrying out his deadly terrorist attack. Following the deadly attack at Manchester Arena by al-Bedi on Tuesday night, which claimed 22 lives, questions are being raised as to why the British authorities did little to follow up on repeated reports from friends and community members that al-Bedi was radicalized and had expressed support for suicide bombings. The reports date back 5 years when two youth workers are said to have phoned the anti-terrorism hotline, well, these were friends of his, to report concerns over al-Bedi's extreme views whilst he was completing his last year at school. Two of al-Bedi's friends were also so concerned about his behavior that they separately phoned the hotline 5 years ago and then again last year. They had been worried that he was supporting terrorism and had expressed the view that being a suicide bomber was okay. Now, Mohammed Shafiq, chief executive of the Ramadan Foundation, told The Telegraph that the community members also reported al-Bedi to the authorities 2 years ago because he thought that he was involved in extremism and terrorism. People in the community expressed concerns about the way this man was behaving and reported it in the right way using the right channels. And they did hear what? I mean, Akram Ramadan, a member of the South Manchester Libyan community where al-Bedi lived, said that al-Bedi had been banned from the Didsbury Mosque after he confronted an imam who had delivered a sermon opposing extremism. Now, Didsbury Mosque has confirmed that following the incident, it contacted the Home Office and the Prevent Anti-Radicalization Program to flag al-Bedi as a possible extremist. And Mr. Ramadan said he believed that the report led to al-Bedi being placed on a watch list, yet he was allowed to travel to Libya and Syria repeatedly before returning to Manchester to carry out his deadly plot. Last night, Home Secretary Amber Rudd admitted that al-Bedi had been known to the British Security Service, whilst U.S. intelligence has confirmed he was also known to them. France's interior minister said al-Bedi had proven links to the Islamic State and that both the French and the British intelligence had information that he had been to Syria. Now, these guys are watching him. They don't live in France. Okay? But they knew about it. But Frank Gardner, the BBC security correspondent, told Radio 4 today that the opportunities were missed because the threat is so widespread. Now, this comes down to numbers, according to Gardner. If they told us how many people had these extreme views just across the UK, we wouldn't sleep at night. It's in the thousands. I'm going to quit right there, because the rest is just more BS.
Thank you.
God almighty.
I have one word for you, John. Operative. Guy's an operative.
Look what happened with the little shooter down there at the gay nightclub.
Well, let me just tie the two things together. You just mentioned that al-Bedi went to Libya and he also went to Syria. Well, Omar Mateen did the same thing. He went to Mecca twice. Why do they do that? I had a show on the Pulse nightclub shooting. I had one, and then I had John Hankey come up and explain this to me. These people are operatives, okay? These Omar Mateen went to the police academy, went to for police training, okay? And he was approached by people that were affiliated with this. And what they do is they'll take somebody out of there, from what I understand, and they'll place them in situations, and they'll run drills with them. And that's what they did with Mateen. Mateen was set up. Okay. Now, I don't know how many people died at the nightclub. I know that Mateen was set up as a patsy. I'll give you another patsy's name. Timothy McVeigh was an operative. And the people that I've interviewed over that, the investigation that I've done on that, I don't believe, honestly, that Timothy McVeigh's even dead. I've uncovered four witnesses, two of which were at the supposed execution, which they witnessed Timothy McVeigh still breathing, and they couldn't see any IVs going into his arms because the sheet was all the way up to his neck. So this, to me, reeks of yet another operative being going on that side of the Atlantic. And interestingly enough, I want to bring up a caller that called into James Kelso's show yesterday and just posed the question to James Kelso about this. And Kelso evidently, you know, doesn't focus on that much or doesn't do much research on it. But the caller that called in, and I believe it was Joel in Wisconsin, if I remember correctly, was right spot on.
Ironically, guess who's sitting on the phone right now?
Really?
Joel in Wisconsin. Hello, Joel. Hello, Joel.
How do you do, guys?
Are you the one that did the dirty deed to James Kelso?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Tell him to repeat the dirty deed. What did you say?
I just asked those three guys a simple question. If any of them had considered the possibility that the Manchester bombing was staged. And they all just gave themselves away. I mean, they had never thought of it. So they just went rattling on. And that's kind of what I've called about today, too. I almost called about the same thing. But not that topic, different topic. Seth Rich. You guys were talking about Seth Rich.
Right.
Can I go to there now?
Yeah.
Okay. You may not like this, because after being lied to all my life by the government media complex, you know, and they always have a known record for not telling the truth all the time, I don't know if anybody's considered this possibility. Was there really ever a Seth Rich, and is he really dead? The investigation has to start there. When you get a story from liars, and it doesn't, especially when it doesn't make sense, and nothing about the Seth Rich story makes sense, so you have to go back to basics. Especially when you know for a fact you're getting the story from the liars.
Okay, but Joel, isn't that a little bit of the stretch? I mean, I guess you must if you must, but that's like me giving you the argument, since we really don't know who shot JFK. Was JFK even real? Was that assassination even real?
Well,
no, I'm just
hard to prove that one. That's so far back.
No, but Joel, you see my point here. You know, you going back to the...
I see your point.
Yeah, you, Joel, what you're suggesting here, and for to what end would this serve? To fake a Seth Rich, fake his murder, fake the stories that evidently nobody wants to touch? I'm missing something here.
Can I interject here, Joel?
Oh, please.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that Joel mentioned that question, because ironically, and I know this is going to sound out there, but that the penny dropped on that question within me yesterday morning, or last night, excuse me. And what I found interesting, and I'm not saying that there's any legs to that at all, but what I am saying is that my thought pattern goes in a lot of different directions. But one thing I did notice about this, John, is when I originally started reporting on this, the media was reporting that Seth Rich left the bar at 1:15 in the morning. And the police got a call on a shooting. Jody O'Leary got a call. And the police showed up a few minutes later and he'd been shot. Well, that story has now changed. Because when in looking at the police reports, I reported that according to Jody O'Leary's police report, the police arrived at 4:20 in the morning, which is 3 hours and 5 minutes after the media had reported he left the bar. Now, here's the questions. Okay, why did the story change? How far from the bar did Seth Rich live? Because was he walking 9 miles home? That doesn't make any sense.
Hang on, we got a break. We'll be back.
really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science. Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Michael,
yes.
Yeah, Seth Rich, was he really a real guy?
Well, John, let me continue with my thought process here, and a little bit of defense of Joel, because the bar owner said when he was interviewed that Seth Rich left at 1:15 in the morning. Okay, now that was what the media had originally reported.
1:30. Then he had a 90-minute conversation with his girlfriend. And there was about a half hour after that conversation ended that he ended up with two bullets in his back.
Well, okay, so your story is different than the story that I'm getting as well.
Okay.
Because what I understand, when this event happened, he was right close to his home, and according to what he had said to his girlfriend, he could see his house. He was,
right.
He'll be there in a couple of minutes.
Right.
Okay, so if the bar owner, let's use your timeline of 1:30 in the morning. So what did he do? Stand outside a bar at 1:30 in the morning and talk to his girlfriend for 90 minutes and not walk anywhere?
I don't know.
Okay. But here's the thing. The original story I got was 1:15, and I heard the reports. But once the police reports came out and once somebody had tipped somebody off that those police reports were out on the internet, now all of a sudden the story changes. And now it has to fit the narrative of the police report, which also is in with this report that you've got up on Republic Broadcasting, that they're now altering Seth Rich's Reddit posts, and they've deleted 663 of them. So they're altering the narrative, massaging it to fit whatever timeline most acceptable.
But I think the real bombshell here on this one is once he got to the hospital.
I agree.
Because he was alive for 8 hours after that.
Right. And according to the police, they showed up at, I think it was 4:20 in the morning, and he was pronounced dead at 5:57. That flies in the face of this medical doctor who posted on 4chan, who Steve Elkins has already confirmed that the way that this man wrote this 4chan, the man is obviously a medical doctor because of the terminology he was using. So that, to me, is acceptable.
Yeah.
If you're not in the medical profession, you wouldn't write it like that. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the dead men tell no tales, and there is a major cover-up going on. And I'm waiting for this Mr. Sessions, our vaunted attorney general. What is going to be his first official act? I can't wait for this one. We got people getting shot in the back. We got Clinton Foundation still out there. We've got the Clinton still not in jail. We've got criminals par excellence and child trafficking and giddy ha-ha parties. It's never ending. So when is this guy going to start acting as if he's an attorney general?
Who is the acting attorney general right now, John?
Oh, gosh. I can't think of his name, but I think he's a Democrat.
Okay, well, I know that Andrew McCabe is the acting FBI director right now, whose wife received $650,000 in donations from the Clinton Foundation for her campaign.
Yeah.
So we know that's not going anywhere. All right. And we know that Joe Lieberman is another ringer. Okay, if he's put through for the FBI director, so that's not going to go anywhere.
No, and Dianne Feinstein has already come out and said, and it's got to be pretty bad when one of their own comes out and says, you know what, and we're supposed to believe that this guy, he is so well-liked, and he's so honest, and Mr. Lieberman is this, and well, if he's all of that, why did Dianne Feinstein come out and say that, nah, I don't think he'd make a good FBI director? There's got to be a better choice from that. Yeah, they don't even trust anybody to be non-political taking over the reins of the FBI because, quite frankly, what has the FBI been involved in? How many times? What operations? What lies were told? Or why didn't they do their job doing what they should necessarily do if they're an apolitical organization and they're the nation's best crime fighters? The whole damn thing is compromised, Mike.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And I look online at a number of these posts from, just citizen investigators, and all of it's supposed to be fake news. But a lot of these guys are pretty perceptive, and they uncover a lot of information, John. And, Seth Rich is part of it. And, yes, it's the linchpin. But we've also got child trafficking. We've also got the sex rings. We've also got the spirit cooking. We've got all of this stuff that is simmering in there. Okay, and it's all stuff that they are desperate to make sure never comes to the surface because it will literally destroy any credibility that the public has in this government at all.
Oh, screw the credibility. You'd start putting the criminals behind bars where they belong.
No, I agree. Yeah.
All right.
I'm watching. None of this is being reported.
I know.
And anything that comes up on it is being scrubbed from the web. Got a break coming up? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. See you in 5 or 3 or 4.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Soon you will be dancing face to face with the limits of ambition and the scars of the marketplace. Welcome to the land.
By the way, are you doing a show tonight?
No, actually, I'm not. I've got some company from out of town, and I'm spending some time with them. And so I'll be back Monday, though. I'll be on Memorial Day.
Okay, cool.
Well, I wanted to throw something in the mix. You know, John, when I mentioned the penny dropped like that thing that Joel in Wisconsin tossed out, I'm going to tell you why it dropped. It's because I went in and I was looking online at these YouTube videos of some of these investigators, and I ran across an interview that was done with Seth Rich's family. And it was done, it was a body language analyzer professional that analyzed about a 3-minute video of an interview that the family was giving. And I watched the body language, I listened to her comments on it, and she said that the family was totally unemotional, just almost disconnected. They had no emotion whatsoever. She didn't know exactly when that interview was done. But the biggest thing that stuck out about it is the brother was sitting in front of the two parents. And the whole time the brother was looking back and forth all around the room, and it looked like through that entire interview, he was continually trying to force back a smirk. In other words, he was trying to get rid of it. He kept trying to smirk, and then he'd catch himself. And so at that point in time when the idea came up, this is so bizarre that the idea that Seth Rich may not even be dead compared to what I had you know, uncovered about these witnesses with Timothy McVeigh. Is it possible? I wouldn't rule it out. Yeah. I'm not saying it's highly likely, but I wouldn't rule it out. Nah, go ahead.
No.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
That's a conspiracy.
And it's not worth bringing up again, but you did.
Okay.
Francis in North Carolina. Hello, Francis.
Hey, fellas.
Hi.
Several points for you. That's a really interesting perspective that, wow, interesting. The aspect that it wasn't really Seth Rich and blah, 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 you know.
Well, don't start because I just... Well, let me put this.
He just butt spanked me, Francis. So you know, shift gears. Let's get somewhere else.
Well, I wouldn't exactly call it that, but I didn't want you repeating it anymore.
Okay.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
But now with all the things I've heard about Seth Rich, about how he was taken out and so forth ad nauseum, I'm just trying to figure out one thing. Not that I go to bars or anything at my age, for crying out loud, so I'm not that keen on that type of activity, for that matter, or going to a nightclub or whatever. Those days are long behind me, for that matter, but who in the world would be taking a work computer with them to a bar to start with, especially if they happen to be in that kind of position, as far as a political body is concerned, that had come across information? Wouldn't they just simply take that straight home and deposit it somewhere safely so that it's not on their person to start with? Reason being is that, one, he's taken out before he ever gets home. For that matter, there's a lot of things that don't add up.
No, the whole damn thing doesn't add up. It only makes sense. It only makes sense if the narrative in the story is spoken that he is the one that sent the emails blowing the whistle on the DNC to Julian Assange. Once that starts, that knocks the Russian conspiracy crap right out of the box and gets closer to the Democratic National Committee or convention people and to Hillary Clinton. That's what really makes sense.
Well, I know, but the thing is, that's the one part that there is a denial in trying to, and basically making sure that the, so-called major media, for that matter, outlets and their Barbie dolls and Ken dolls and all that, that are dressed to the hilt or whatever, to spread the misrepresentations or whatever, are paid to do so, to hide that or keep that away from the everyday person.
And Francis, here's another thing to consider.
Hmm.
The media, and I even hasten to call them that anymore, it's like the Barnum and Bailey Circus has now been revised and we're using real people instead of animals now. But when I look at this, you know, for them to have a perfect opportunity to go after these harebrained people that are suggesting that Seth Rich was the original source here, and he was a DNC guy, he was a Democrat himself, to blow the whistle on Hillary Clinton, you would think that this being just the non-story that they make it out to be, I only have two questions. If they had a pot shot that they could take at Republicans or the media that's been trying to expose this, whoa, they could just have a million and one laughs. The other thing is, coincidentally, we've got people now going after Sean Hannity's advertisers on Fox and on his radio show. Well, yeah. When did that happen?
David Brock, Media Matters, John.
That's right. And doesn't that coincide in the timeline since this Seth Rich story has broke, that the one guy that actually did the interview with Julian Assange?
When I had chatted with Steve yesterday on your show, and the various
I wasn't there.
Well, it was a very interesting dialogue, and the only thing that came to mind in the discussion is that Sandy Hook came to mind and the fiasco with that. And so, of course, Mr. Helvig was brought up, and he said, of course, there was a commentary about, well, maybe Helvig should investigate or whatever. And I thought, you know, I didn't say that, but you know, if he's being attacked because he is simply wanting to get simple answers to simple questions and so forth, And the question is this is actually questioned, and they actually do go after whoever botched it up, whoever actually took out and so forth at nauseam. The question is that another set of dominoes to start tumbling?
Well, I'm not in the Deanna Spingola camp on, you know, that shooting, that school shooting. That was real. I have never gone there, nor will I ever go there.
Yeah. Well, as far as that being a legit, as far as that part goes, I'll leave it alone. Other than the aspect that it being a functioning school, yeah, right. Not with what has been written about or talked about.
I only have one question, and we saw this live on air.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that was dressed in black that was running through the woods? Oh, I'm sorry. Nothing to see here, folks. Just move along.
We're
in control. We'll let you know whatever we need to let you know.
Yeah. Well, the question is, which alphabet soup group they were a part of?
Well, I'll tell you what. I could do a budget-busting budget for Donald Trump. I would defund the FBI, the CIA, the National Security Agency. And who else would you put on temporary hiatus there, Michael?
All of them.
It's a shorter list.
Yeah. I just start over again.
So would I. No kidding. All right, Francis, thank you.
Have a great weekend.
All right.
Have a fun, safe one, and play hard.
No, I'm too old. By the way, Michael?
Yeah?
Don't ever drink Gentleman Jack.
Gentleman Jack, what is that?
That's bourbon.
Oh. Is that something new, John, that you tried? You experimented with? What?
Don't ever try it.
Okay, I got to write this down so I'll make sure I don't.
No, I'm doing this because I know you will, and you'll see the reason why.
Oh, I see.
I need to get these guys as a sponsor. It's the best damn bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life.
Oh, yeah?
You know when you drink something straight up, how you get that, you know, and your mouth waters, and if it hits your stomach the wrong way, you want to a little bit. Not this. Oh, no. This stuff should be outlawed.
Well, John, I guess you've shifted gears from Jägermeister and beer, huh?
That was many years ago. That's when I was still married, Michael, remember?
Yes, I know, and that's probably part of the reason why you were doing it. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Are you friends with Mike in Phoenix? Never mind. We won't go there.
No.
Ed in Utah. Let's switch states here. Hello, Ed.
Hello, John and Mike. I just called to throw some grist into the mill here.
Okay.
Look at Bill O'Reilly and the timing of his ouster. When you consider that he's a bully and a boor, he's always been a bully and a boor, though.
And he's always
rid of him now.
And he's always been what he has always been. He was 6 foot whatever, 6 foot 13 inches, and he's always been what's the term that they use, Mike, when the guy runs around? What am I looking for here?
Bombastic, John.
There we go. Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah. He's always been those things, and about the women and what have you. They chose now, and I heard him recently, the only interview he's given, he says there is going to be more to come out on this. He's not taking his ouster lightly. That is good for us. Again, I don't care about him per se, but you look at the fact that he may have passed along some information to Lou Dobbs, who's very courageous, not like little boy Sean, as you point out.
Mm-hmm.
I always wondered about that lion bartender.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw out this. Again, I just called here for some grist for the mill. Michael mentioned the other night about a second death at the time of Seth Rich, and that is, well, from the American Free Press and Barnes Review. Deanna Spingola wrote there. Victor Thorne. And what I find interesting, you recall the death of Victor Thorne. I know you had a few cross and swords with him at one point over a matter.
It wasn't just a matter. It was he and his girlfriend Lisa Giuliani, whatever the hell her name was, and his name wasn't Victor Thorne. His real name was
Maskushka, right?
Scott Mafuka.
Yeah.
Okay. The problem I had with them is every conversation I ever had with them on a telephone, it would end up on their internet program the next day, twisted 180 degrees out. That's the problem I had. And when I went to Washington, D.C., at the American Free Press, they had a big thing up there. Who was up there? Victor Thorne and his girlfriend. And she was looking every bit of the, Los Angeles hooker. And I told the organizer of that event, I said, look, I told the editor of the newspaper, I said, I want these people getting out of here before I have a chance to talk with him. Because Victor Thorne was wheedling his way into American Free Press, and I did not trust the guy. And I said, look, we need to have an adult conversation before all parties leave. Oh, and they were told twice. I told them twice. They agreed. Oh, yeah, we'll stick around. The minute that that damn thing was over, I'm out in the kind of rotunda area. I was talking with, what was the rabbi's name? Rabbi David Yisrael Weiss. I was talking with he and his wife. And at that time, they took the opportunity to hit the front door running. Yeah, I have had a problem with Victor Thorne, and he was such a good writer, but he was just a taxi cab driver. But
he was a taxi in State College.
But he went after me and this network for absolutely no reason at all. So
that is too bad.
Too bad. Yeah, when it happens to somebody else, but when it happens to me and I tell people this, they go, oh, well, that's just too bad. No, it's freaking criminal.
No, I understand, and I'm with you on that, John. I do know that he also stepped on the Clinton's toes with that trilogy book that he put out.
I'm sure he did.
And I'm just saying with the timeliness of his death, he could have caused them problems. You know, not defending him on the overall. I had some questions because he was part of Wing TV. He was Wing TV, and he originally contacted Michael Collins Piper, interest in Piper's cracking of the John F. Kennedy assassination. By the way, we're coming up on 2 years on the death of the late, great Michael Collins Piper here in early June. And but anyway, the reason I brought up Victor Thorne, why I was astounded, who mentions the death of Victor Thorne and reports on it in August? Rush Limbaugh. So I'm just saying, again, notice I preface my call, whether you're talking about some unseemly characters here concerning Bill O'Reilly. I bring him up. You know, he's always been a boor and a bully. Why get rid of him now? You have the death of Victor Thorne. Rush Limbaugh mentions that death. He never mentioned American Free Press writers too often before and what have you. So you have these kind of dynamics. It gives a lot of credence to what Michael and where you're going right now with this dialogue.
Yeah, and to be fair about this, so people don't get the wrong impression, it was Victor Thorne being weak-minded, and it was actually his girlfriend, Lisa Giuliani, that was always in there, in his ear, twisting. And I swear to you, I swear on my mother, my father's grave, my kid's grave, anybody, that whenever I had a conversation, and not with Victor, but with Lisa Giuliani, that got twisted, and that's what the whole part of their show was the very next day, which I found absolutely incredible. And when it came time to nail her little carcass to the woodshed, she took the opportunity to rabbit. I'd never seen anybody move that quickly in all my life. Anyhow, we're off the subject.
John, you're onto something. You look at Bay Buchanan and how she perverted the Buchanan campaign 2000. I have close witnesses on that, not only in Salt Lake City, but what he abandoned the ranchers up in South Dakota at a big rally. Bay Buchanan was a big part of that schmozzle.
Yeah, here's the tip with Bay Buchanan. Be wary of women that are uglier than your brother. All right. Hey, Ed, I got to let you go, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys, real quick. So given everything you've talked about today and the Michael Hastings and the Breitbarts and the Kennedy and everybody before, sincerely, when is the time to go on the offensive?
When we find somebody that's in a position that can bring this up publicly and make it stick. And I don't give a damn what quarter it comes from. I don't care if it's the Attorney General's office. I don't care if it's a Congress critter. I don't care if it's some lawyer connected with some well-known law firm. I don't give a damn who it is. You know?
So is it possible we all really need to get behind a person maybe like Trey Gowdy?
Look, that would have been
strong.
That would, you know, the little bulldog that he is, by the way, he's taking over that committee. He is going to be the chairperson of that committee, whatever the hell the name of it is. And him, I'm telling you, I think Trey is, I think he's satisfied with his position and what his position and the power that he has of inquiry on these committees. I think he's happy with that. I think he stayed away far away because his name was thrown in a hat for FBI director, and I think he'd be a damn good one. Tenacious, knows what's up, will call a foul a foul. That's the kind of guy that you need. But he said, look, I'm not going to do this. He said, can you imagine me trying to get confirmed? Yeah. Let's not have an honest guy running the FBI. Let's have our guy running the FBI.
So maybe everybody listening needs to go give him a little support, whether it's email, tweet, or whatever, and say, keep doing what you're doing. We got your back, Trey.
Well, and maybe one day that this cabal will be broken enough that people like him can get in the positions they need to be in to make a difference. And I mean a real difference, not just satiating somebody's appetite for a little bit of get back. I'm talking about righting the damn system, throwing the criminals in jail, and getting back to our productive little lives, or what used to be our productive little lives. Now we're just sitting here growing old and growing more broke.
Right on. Thanks for the show. Have a good night.
All right, thanks. By the way, Mike?
Yeah?
I got your silver certificate.
Hey, right on. Did it make you smile?
Actually, I have a duplicate laying on my coffee table, and my ex-wife, she saw $5 laying on the dryer and grabbed it and spent it. That happened to be the federal note.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you got a silver certificate, John?
Yeah, I got two. You want one?
I want to buy one, yeah.
Well, I'll give you one.
Oh,
if you ever come to Texas.
Well, I, you know.
You're not allowed to talk about that.
I know.
He's waiting for me to clean my house, folks. Okay, see what I did? I told on myself rather than letting you do it.
Okay, they're very good.
Ahead of me. Yeah, yeah. No, you've got me trained. Kathleen in Nebraska. Hello, Kathleen.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
Regarding Seitz Rich.
Yes.
He was Jewish. He was from Omaha. And he went to a Jesuit university called Creighton here in Omaha.
So a Jew goes to the other yarmulke wearing education, higher education. And you know, your point being, Kathleen?
Well, it's a very expensive university. And also, I'm in Omaha, and all of the local TV stations reported his death. So take that as you will.
And Kathleen, and when they were reporting, what was the narrative? What was the flavor of his death?
The same story we heard.
Really?
Yeah.
So to quiet everybody down in Omaha and make it sound as if they're onto something, that now they're threatening talk show hosts and their advertisers if they continue talking about it. Hmm. Very interesting. I didn't know Omaha, Nebraska had any brass.
Well, hardly.
Okay.
Well, one good thing came of this. Kathleen just affirmed that Seth Rich lived.
Yeah.
So you're done, Joel, in Wisconsin.
There you go. All right, Kathleen, anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, thanks. Bye. I appreciate it. By the way, on this story, the latest terrorist attack.
Yes.
Well, when I left off here, Mike, this gardener, that said that, you know, if they told us how many people had these extreme views just across the UK, we wouldn't sleep at night. It's in the thousands.
Mm-hmm.
He says they haven't got the watchers. They haven't got the capability to follow all those people. So they have to go where they think the danger is and most imminent and the most serious.
which is the exact opposite direction of when the event happens.
The security source told Sky News, MI5 are working on 500 active investigations involving some 3,000 subjects of interest at any one time. And Abedi was one of the larger pool of former subjects of interest whose risk remains subject to review by MI5 and its partners. Now, where former subjects of interest show known risk of re-engaging in terrorism, MI5 can be considered reopening the investigation. And this process relies on inevitable difficult judgments based on partial information. By the way, 8 of the arrests have now been made in connection to the plot, but police have admitted that with each arrest and new location discovered, the web of involvement widens. Just over 36 hours in, the investigation is already being described as being vast. Now, here's the thing. Aiding and abetting is one thing. Setting the people up to be the patsy is totally another thing. Michael, there's not going to be any swamp draining. There's not going to be any meaningful change that is going to happen in this country.
John, all I can say is thank God for Gentleman Jack Bourbon.
Oh, God. I did something that I haven't done in a couple of years.
As soon as this show is over, I'm not going to Fry's and I'm not buying a bottle.
Okay, great. What's Fry's? Here, that's an electronics store.
Fry's is Kroger's.
Oh, then why don't they call it Kroger's?
Well, because Kroger's is back in Indianapolis. Fry's is out here.
Oh, it's the same company?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah, it is. Oh, because okay. They sell Kroger products in there, so it has to be.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know what to say about this, John, because, you know, with the investigations that I've done and, you know, the reports on McVeigh and the reports on Omar Mateen and all that stuff, yeah, there's a pattern here. And obviously it's not just a national pattern, it's an international pattern. And this reeks, as Joel in Wisconsin said, this reeks of another false flag. The guy's an operative, question about it.
But here again, you know, we're willing to turn the world upside down and inside out and to keep this fear porn rolling. You know,
that's the key. It's fear porn, John.
It's an endless loop. And rather than asking the obvious question is, what can we do to de-escalate this entire thing? Well, I've got a clue for you. And these supposed intelligence agencies and intelligent people that we have in government, stop killing the people in the Middle East, you morons. Let's start there.
No, because if we start there, John, we'll have to do another show, all right? And I need to go to Fry's, so there.
Donations for the network.
Yes.
We're still doing a pledge drive, folks. It is now the 26th day of May, and we're only one-third of the way there. I don't know what you have to do this weekend. Get a bottle of Gentleman Jack. You won't regret it, by the way, because you get no hangover the next day. Either do that, or consider what this network is worth to you and how this can be not only in service to you and your little cache of information, but to support it for those yet to come.
Information is invaluable, John. They don't get it anywhere else.
Knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
All right, Michael, thank you.
You bet. Have a good weekend, John.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye.
And you can go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. Hit the donate button. That's the easiest and fastest way to do it. Or just call the network right now. If you're going to listen to the next hour show, I could imagine you wouldn't have time to do it. But in case you don't have the inclination, dial us at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Make a donation today. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.